Okay, good evening, and thanks for the kind words of introduction. I'm delighted to be here with you tonight at this wonderful moment of national opportunity. And what a privilege it will be to share the stage with some of the absolute thought leaders of industrial strategy, a real honour. So in the next 10 minutes or so, I'm going to give you two perspectives that I hope will complement those of my fellow speakers. The first is that of an end user. Having spent a large part of my career in industry, I've been on the receiving end of an industrial strategy. And the second is that of an insider. So as CSA in the Department of Business and Trade, which co-leads the industrial strategy with Treasury, I've got an inside view. So to begin with the first perspective. Before my role in government, I was chief technologist at BAE Systems Air Sector, where I spent about 25 years in the technology-intensive aerospace defence security sector. And during that time, I worked here, I worked internationally, I had the opportunity to work with companies big and small, with academia, with entrepreneurs. And it's sort of rather stating the obvious, but to turn a profit and to stay ahead, businesses need to innovate and turn ideas and technology into tradable outcomes, competitive products and services. And whether you're developing robotics for human-machine teaming in a digitised factory or applying new materials to reduce the carbon footprint of aircraft, the role of science and technology is a critical enabler. But turning that technology into trade is super, super hard because so many factors need aligning. So technology itself needs to be ready at the right time. We know it all matures at different time rates, so compare the rapid refresh rate of AI in your phone to the development of quantum sensing for brain imaging. Development cycles, service lifetimes, business models are all very different, and it requires planning and agility. Skills obviously need to be available, but not just the technology skills, so technicians, engineers, scientists, really important. But so too are the skills that will help you deliver programs, to scale your business, to raise finance, to manage risk. So without the right wraparound of skills, innovation can't prosper. And you need infrastructure, physical, digital, and data infrastructure to connect the ecosystem, enable development, test, qualification, and certification. Without this, innovation can't flourish, and products can't reach the marketplace. Regulation. We would expect innovative, disruptive, groundbreaking technology to challenge accepted practice. So it's essential that regulators are part of this innovation journey as well and have incentivization that allows them to support growth. And finance, of course, has to be accessible along every step of the innovation journey. Whether you're in a large corporate or a university spin-out, innovators need access to capital at all points, from the lower stakes, lower TRL, right the way through to the high stakes, high TRL. And then markets, export and competition. Businesses compete for market access and market share. So bringing competitive product to the right market at the right time is critical. And the domestic market, of course, might not be big enough, so you might need to export and access the international market. And these are just some of the things that need aligning. Whether you're trying to establish floating offshore wind capability or developing a supply chain for semiconductors into batteries, into gigafactories, into electric vehicles, it's a similar set of hurdles. And overcoming them requires government, industry, academia to have a shared vision and to align resources. And when you do, targeted investment accelerates collaboration. It drives onshore innovation, creates self-sustaining ecosystems, allows different sectors with different capabilities to share ideas, and creates deep expertise that can endure over decades through the people, the businesses, the institutions, and the places that it creates. This is what an industrial strategy can do. So it was my first question to the Permanent Secretary when I joined the department about 2 years ago, are we going to create an industrial strategy? And my wish has come true. So, to the second perspective, my role on the inside. Growth is the number one mission of this government, and industrial strategy is central to that. The Green Paper set out the vision for a modern industrial strategy, Invest 2035, a 10-year plan to deliver the certainty, stability that businesses need to invest. Now, we all know the context is really challenging. In the 20 years before the global financial crisis, productivity grew at around 2% a year. And in the near 20 years since, it's grown by less than 1%, which has created a huge impact and challenge. But the opportunity to build on our strengths is rich. We've got high-quality research, innovative firms, a global trade outlook, regulatory frameworks that are trusted, standards and competition institutions that are trusted, highly skilled workforce, so it's all to play for. And the aim is to enable the UK's already successful services and manufacturing sectors to adapt and grow, whilst seizing opportunities to lead in new sectors that result in high-quality, well-paid jobs, and that also shape the type of growth we get. So we're seeking to support net zero, regional growth, and economic security and resilience from the outset. So policy is going to be guided by principles of long-term stability, the power of strategic government to coordinate and align, commitment to free and fair trade, and easing the investor journey. It's going to be international from the start and developed in lockstep with local and regional leaders, devolved governments and businesses in a structure of partnership and prioritisation. So to science and technology, enabled by and an enabler of the industrial strategy. So across each of the priority sectors, science and technology is going to be vital in driving growth. Let me give you some headlines. Strengthening our research base, supporting our startups, our scale-ups, ensuring success in global markets is going to build on strong foundations. We are only the third country in the world to have a technology ecosystem sector valued at over $1 trillion. And the digital and technologies stream is going to ensure a focus on emerging as well as existing sectors. Advanced manufacturing, another sector for growth, sees almost half of the UK's private sector R&D investment, is a high productivity growth sector and generates over $200 billion a year. We're already home to one of the largest aerospace clusters, for example, and produce around half the world's large civil aircraft wings. Life sciences, almost 7,000 businesses which generate over £100 billion of turnover. We recently celebrated John Jumper and Dennis Habasis for their game-changing AlphaFold technology. It won't be the last time that AI has underpinned scientific breakthrough. Defence supports over 500,000 jobs across the UK and applies some of the most cutting-edge technology that spins out into other sectors of the economy. Clean energy industries. The energy transition we know is going to require large-scale application and integration of new technology from hydrogen to carbon capture use and storage, with over £1 trillion of projected opportunities for British businesses out to 2030. Financial services, we're a global financial centre with significant export potential, from algorithmic trading to increased resilience, reliance on super-fast, low-latency, global fibre connections, and the latest advanced models, science and technology is playing a key role in fintech. Creative industries give us a clearly recognised global brand with the third largest creative services exporter globally, and technology is playing an ever-increasingly important role across gaming, media, film, sport, fashion, etc. And the eighth sector that's been identified, business and professional services, £174 billion in exports in 2023. That's 20% of all national exports. One in seven jobs across the economy. So it's a large and diverse sector with opportunities for science and technology to generate growth across accountancy, advertising, legal services, engineering. So this is where my point of making the integrated system work well sort of really comes into play. For science and technology to deliver on the opportunities, we've got to align the entire system with our objectives for growth. A future in which regulators, as well as protecting consumers, are incentivized to drive growth, where academia, as well as delivering fundamental R&D, works with industry and finance to drive adoption in the economy, where government removes barriers to growth across the system, ensuring that pathways deliver national capability. So, where are we now? Well, firstly, thank you to all of you who responded to the Green Paper consultation, which closed last week. The teams, as you can imagine, are working extraordinarily hard to distill the terabytes of substantive responses, which will be a priority activity into the new year. This is a really, really exciting time. It feels a bit like being in the Matrix with verticals and horizontals, sectors enablers, cross-cutting policies and bespoke solutions. But this is the task, to coordinate and work in partnership to set the foundations for businesses, innovators, entrepreneurs and individuals to thrive. And this is what makes it so interesting and why it feels such a privilege to be on the inside helping this happen. Thank you.